One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, ever had a chat with a friendly stranger only to find out they weren't quite alive?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sure is. And if you have a real ghost story, we would absolutely love to hear it. If you want to call it in and leave us a voicemail, call 855-853-4802. If you'd rather write it down, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you'd like to become a premium subscriber, up to you. You can do that. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, all without commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free there. Or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. My sister Kathy Gordon's here today.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
This is kind of a weird week because Kathy and I were supposed to be on vacation. And so we should be in Colorado. Like the other day, I was editing an episode and we talked about going to Colorado this week. And I'm like, oh, that didn't happen. But So sometimes life just kind of throws you really big ass curveballs.
It does. It was crazy. I ended up having to go to Austin, Texas for a week because our other sister.
We have two other sisters, an older one and a younger one.
Had a medical emergency. And so I just rushed down there. So we didn't get to go to, and then Carol actually wasn't feeling good and had an infection. And so so it didn't work out for her either. So you know what? Sometimes life throws you curveballs and you know what? You just swing at them and maybe you strike and maybe
it was
you hit
just
it,
like
you know?
One of those things, like, because then Kathy has to go to Austin, and she didn't mention that's a 9.5-hour drive. That one morning she just woke up and was on her way to Texas.
Well, I took my dog, so it was more like a 10.5-hour drive when you drive
with your dog. So then that left me here, and I would have to drive to Colorado by myself, and I just had the knee replacement, and the doctor was like,
hip replacement. You did not have a knee replacement.
No, please. I don't want to have that done. But I had the hip replacement. And we were a little concerned about the altitude of my hip and the freaking compression socks I'd have to wear. And then before I would have gone, I'm like, I'm not feeling very good. I should probably go to the doctor. And then I had this infection. So I've been on antibiotics ever since. And I was like,
you know, the world just said, you guys don't need to be going to Colorado. So here we are. That was the way that worked. So here we are.
Yeah. And our poor brother, he wanted to have this vacation with his sisters, and then none of the sisters got to go. Well, so now he's got a romantic vacation with his wife.
Yeah.
That's what we like to think.
It's like, you know, that worked out just fine. But hey, I was thinking about this. Your lead in was having a chat with a stranger, but then discovered they weren't alive.
How do you know?
Like a really good movie.
But wait a minute.
I do think it was The Sixth Sense.
But what if that happened and you just never knew?
Well, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, I wonder how many people I've talked to that are actually dead.
And you thought they were there. You know, because you and I have talked about that before. Like, you know, you could be at Grand Central Station and you make eye contact with someone and it's like kind of weird. You might get there's this fleeting, quick, weird feeling, never knowing that was not even an actual person. And then you just keep going on about your life or walking down the street or whatever. And you see someone and you don't think anything that much of it, but you might get a little weird spidey sense.
But, you know, to push that a little further, what if it was somebody we just talked to, you know? And, you know, and everything kind of happens for a reason. Like, for example, if you stopped and talked to a stranger, just in the briefest sense of it, that you, they stopped you and held you there for 30 seconds. That was 30 seconds you didn't get in your car and maybe get in an accident.
True.
Right? Do you know what I mean?
Or, it could even be something that's just like you walking down the street and then somebody says, hey, I'm looking for the Catholic Church. And it's like, oh, it's right around the corner or down a block.
Right.
But you didn't know that wasn't a real person.
Exactly. But maybe it's important that they hold you back from taking those, you know, from moving those 10 seconds or that minute down that you would have gone.
True.
So there's that. And then there's also the possibility, and I'm not sure where this is going to go with this chat because I haven't heard this story yet, but that maybe you're going to get some information you need from someone, something.
Or maybe you get no information at all and you just happen to see a ghost that day.
Maybe so, but I don't feel like things just happen without purpose. I feel like if that ghost had the need to stop and detain you in some, you know, very, you know, simple way, there's a reason for it.
Well, here is a story, and it says, hello there. I've been listening to the podcast for several years. I have always wanted to hear one of my stories on the show. The events of this story are more of a melancholic and sweet sort of story. When I was younger, I could always see and sort of sense the paranormal, people who weren't there, angels, demons, etc. I haven't told anyone about this because it's not a story that needs to be told, but I figured I might as well give it a shot and see if it gets on the podcast. And here you are. It's on the podcast. Anyway, I should probably stop rambling and get to the story. One day during the summer, I was sitting on the sidewalk and eating the petals of clovers, like I did with my grandpa when I was little. I have never done that. Never even thought about that.
I counted them a lot.
Man, I always looked for a four-leaf clover. Found one. I was sketching in a sketchbook and humming when I saw an old man staring at the house next door. If I were to describe the man, I would say he looked like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. If Gandalf had shorter hair and wore a blue button-up shirt and overalls.
Okay, but did not have a beard that went to his, you know, belly button.
Obviously not. I said hello, and the man turned to me and said hello back, and I asked what he was doing. I used to take walks and talk to my friend who lived in the house before I was sent to an elderly home, he replied. We stood there silently for a minute before I offered him a clover. Why would you eat the clovers? He asked. I explained that I used to do this with my grandpa. My grandchildren don't visit me anymore, he said. And I said, well, they're missing out on a good time, and he laughed. We continued talking for a while before a white car came up behind us and was about to pull into the garage. And I said, it looks like your friend is here. And when there was no response, I turned around and the man wasn't there. Later, my dad asked why I was standing and staring at the house next door. And I told him I was talking to a man. And he said he didn't see anybody out there with me. So I checked the outdoor cameras, and sure enough, I stood there for 20 minutes by myself. I never got the name of the man or the name of the home, which is disappointing because I never saw him again and would have liked to know more about him. I now realize the man had probably died and was visiting the place where he was the happiest, with his friend. Many people assume that when you die, your spirit visits your family, but I think you visit the people who mattered to you the most. I hope he finds peace somewhere or is taking his walks and stopping by the house like he did in life, waiting for his friend to join him on one of those walks. I hope you like my story and hope to hear it on the podcast. Thank you for everything you do. I love to hear the stories from people who are like me and see the beautiful parts of this world that typically go unnoticed. I like that sentence. Mm-hmm. Thank you for everything you do on the podcast. Have a wonderful day, Lila. You know, I just think that's so interesting. I think she was just in the right place at the right time and happened to encounter, I think she encountered the spirit of the man who used to go there and visit.
Oh, most definitely, she you know, encountered a spirit, for sure. I'm just wondering, you know, she was sitting there sketching, she said.
Mm-hmm. Eating clovers.
And, you know, just kind of doing that chillaxing kind of thing. And I think that's where your brain gets into the best place to encounter anything, is when you let it just kind of empty and you're just not particularly, you know how it is. You can let your brain just kind of go. And I think it kind of opened up to seeing him. Now, is he there more often than that? Maybe. Maybe she just happened to be at that exact right moment, and she was in exactly the right state to actually see him.
What if he had just passed away and, you know, he was visiting that place one last time?
That's true, because we have no idea. She didn't necessarily get any information like that, you know, about they were just visiting and it didn't even seem like he knew that he was dead. But we know he was, because he wasn't on the cameras. Her dad said, what are you doing out there just
for
staring
20 minutes.
Out, you know? Yeah. But once again, I just always feel like there's a purpose. And I'm not sure how that entire conversation went. But if she plays it back in her head and tries to remember the things he said, there might be something there for her.
And I'm kind of like, there might not be. She just might be able to see spirits. And
yeah.
She saw him at that moment and might have surprised him. Like, but he might not have even known he had passed.
Right. There's that. But I'd like her to just replay the conversation in her head a little bit. And see if there was anything that was, you know, in that conversation that could be helpful to her.
I just, like she says, I hope he finds peace somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and that always makes me sad. Like, you know, people who are in nursing care and they don't get visitors and their families aren't coming around anymore. Or maybe they don't even have family anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and it just makes you sad. And he's like, I used to take walks and talk to my friend who lived in the house and who just stopped by.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's such a sweet little story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here is our next one.
Hi, my name is Roland. I'm calling from L.A. This story that happened to me, it was maybe about 12 to 15 years ago, maybe even longer. I used to work at a big hospital here in Los Angeles as a security guard. I used to be on the second floor. We had a security desk. Me and my partner would always sit in the morning and we would greet all the employees that were coming in to their shift, their morning shift. We were sat next to a set of elevators and a stairwell. So either employees would come up the elevator or use the stairwell if they wanted. I knew pretty much everybody there, so I would greet a lot of people that were coming to work. And we were there talking, and the stairwell door opened to our left. So I turned and I looked because it kind of opened abruptly. We both turned and looked at who was coming in, and it was one of the custodian ladies that worked there on the second floor. So it was kind of weird because normally this lady, she would always wear tons of makeup on her face. She was known for wearing a lot of makeup. Very nice lady. I would always, you know, greet her good morning, and she would, you know, greet me back. And this day, as soon as the door opened, it was her. And it was odd because she didn't have any makeup on. And I remember turning to my partner, and I was like, wow, she doesn't have any makeup on. That's crazy. I've never seen that. And my partner agreed. As the employee got closer to us, she did not make any eye contact. She was just looking straight ahead. And I told her in Spanish, I told her, good morning. Usually she'll turn around and she'll greet me back, but this time she kept her gaze fixed straight ahead, as she passed by us, right in front of us. She had a blank stare. She did not look at us. Her skin looked kind of pale, and we were kind of like weirded out. I told my partner, wow, maybe she's in a bad mood. And my partner agreed. So we continued to talk about something else, and we paid her no mind. Then she turned the corner and walked down the hallway. Later on that day, a couple hours, we were doing our rounds in the building, and I bumped into one of the managers for the custodian department. And he looked kind of startled. I asked him what was wrong. He said he had just gotten some bad news. They had found one of his employees' cars parked in front of a building in the morning. And he said that worker did not show up to work that day. So the police had called him and told him that she was not going to be able to come in today because they found her body. She was dead. So she got murdered that morning. We did see her that morning at work. So we were very freaked out. I asked my partner, I'm not crazy, right? You did see that. You did see her. She agreed and she said, yes, I did see her. You're not crazy. So yeah, that was really freaky. It freaked me out for a while. So I just think that maybe, you know, when people die, sometimes when they die so abruptly, they don't know that they're dead. So, you know, she probably didn't know she was dead yet. She hadn't figured it out, and she was just coming to work like every day, you know. And so, yeah, we did see her that day. So that was really, really crazy. That's one of the freakiest stories that I have. I have a lot more, so hopefully I'll be calling. I did encounter a lot of these situations when I was a security guard. But yeah, hopefully I'll call you guys later and give you some more good stories. All right, guys, love your show. Have a great day. Bye.
Whoa, that was a great, creepy story.
I know.
And please do call in with more stories. We'd love to hear them.
But that one was really, really spooky.
And what's crazy is that when they saw her, they're like, that's weird. She's not wearing makeup. And that's all happened to us when we encounter someone like, you know, who does wear a lot of makeup. And then one day they're not. And you're like, mm-hmm. Are you okay today? Like, you know, it's just kind of weird. Or are you running late? Or, And the fact that she just didn't like interact with them.
Yeah,
and
no acknowledgement around her.
And then right? they both were like, well, that's weird.
Yeah. But okay. Tragic. You know, maybe like you said, you know, maybe she's running late, not feeling great today, kind of pale, you know, and just trying to get in or whatever. So they just go on. You don't think immediately the worst thing.
No. And that didn't even that didn't even cross their minds. They're just like, well, that's weird.
And then the worst thing was.
And it, the worst thing did happen.
Yeah.
And I, that, wow. How tragic. That I think, is you know, so
I
crazy.
Think he's absolutely right, though. I think he said everything that I was thinking was that she didn't know she was dead yet.
And went to work. Mm-hmm. Went ahead and went to work. And wow. That was an incredible story, actually.
That really was. I hope he writes back with more, because we do get a lot of really interesting stories from security guards, and that's their job, is to be observant, to watch, you know, to see if there's anything out of the ordinary, if anybody's acting odd, you know, that's part of their job,
right?
Is to, you know, take that all in so that if anything comes up later, they can say, well, you know, these three things were a little odd that day.
And you notice everybody's, you know, when people get into work, you know, their routines, especially at a hospital, because everybody does have their routines.
That's
right. And they're cleaning certain floors at the certain same time of day, usually, and things.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that was incredible.
Whoa.
Thank you for that one. Let us know some more. So let's do one more story. It says, when I was in high school in the early 90s, I had one of those experiences that you tell yourself you'll never forget, no matter how hard you try. It was me and my best friend, Chelsea, not her real name, but for privacy's sake, let's just go with that. Chelsea and I were inseparable back then. We did everything together, including some of the dumbest things teenagers do. One of those dumb things involved a Ouija board. We were hanging out one weekend, bored as usual, when we got the brilliant idea to go to Walmart and pick up a Ouija board. None of us really thought anything would come of it. We'd both heard the stories about them from older kids at school, spooky tales of summoning spirits and chatting with the dead. But we didn't really believe any of it. To us, it was more of a game, something to freak each other out and pass the time. The first time we sat down with a board, we were both shocked by how quickly it started working. There wasn't any of that awkward waiting like you see in the movies where nothing happens and someone inevitably accuses the other of moving the planchette. Right from the start, the planchette was practically flying across the board. It moved so fast it made our fingertips slide off a few times. At first, it was fun. The board would spell out harmless things, names we didn't know, messages that were vague enough to seem spooky but not exactly threatening. It was kind of exhilarating. We both felt like we'd tapped into something otherworldly, and even though it scared us a little, it was also addictive. We couldn't wait to do it again. Then, everything changed. A few months after we started playing with the board regularly, Chelsea got pregnant. She told me one day after school, and I remember being shocked, but we were close, and I promised to stick by her no matter what. Around that time, the messages on the Ouija board began to shift. They became darker and more menacing. We would sit there huddled over the board during study hall because naturally we thought playing with the Ouija board at school was the safest option. I can't believe they let him play with a Ouija board at school. Like, were they like hidden in the corner? Like,
you know, it's like, I guess you got bigger hall. Things to worry about some days at school than Ouija boards.
Choose your battles. I don't know, but
that's what I'm wondering, you know.
I just think if you're, you know, the person in the teacher, whoever's in study hall overseeing the kids, you'd be like, this study hall, this is not Ouija board time.
That's right. Don't you have some, you know, calculus or biology to take care of here, kids?
Anyways, that's what it says. So it says the planchette started spelling out terrifying things. I am the devil. It would say, I want your baby. Oh, my God. It's like
what?
It's like Rosemary's Baby all of a sudden. Shit. Chelsea and I would look at each other, scared out of our minds, but neither of us wanted to admit how deep into this mess we had gotten. We tried to laugh it off, telling each other that it was some stupid game, that the board wasn't really talking to us, but deep down, we knew something wasn't right. Oh, please. Still, we kept playing with it. Now, if I was a teenager who was pregnant, playing with a Ouija board, and the Ouija board is saying, I'm the devil, I want your baby, I wouldn't go back to that damn Ouija board. I'd be like, done with that shit.
Well,
but they didn't.
One would think. But, you know,
they are teenagers and we're way older than that.
I was going to say, you maybe you're forgetting what it feels like to be a teenager. You know.
And then it says, maybe we thought maybe if we only played with it at school, the messages wouldn't seem so real. Study hall was basically free time for us, so that's where the Ouija board sessions continued. But the more we played, the more sinister the messages became. The board kept repeating that it wanted Chelsea's baby, and it wasn't long before we couldn't take it anymore. Then we decided to stop.
Well, good.
Well, that's one.
Better late than never.
We put the board in my locker one afternoon after a particularly creepy session. I figured I'd throw it away the next day, but I didn't want to risk taking it home. That was smart. Something about that made me uneasy, and I didn't want it anywhere near my house. The next day after school, Chelsea and I met up at my locker. I opened it up, grabbed the box, and was about to head outside to the dumpsters when I noticed something strange. The box rattled when I picked it up, like something was loose inside. That didn't make sense. It had been perfectly intact when we put it away the day before. Chelsea came over curious. We opened the box together, and what we found inside made my blood run cold. The Ouija board had been shattered into what looked like 100 tiny pieces. The planchette was broken and all of it lay in the bottom of the box like some sort of gruesome puzzle. But here's the thing, the box itself was fine. There were no tears, no dents, no signs of any external damage. It was as if the board had exploded from the inside, destroying itself while still confined within the box. We stared at the pieces completely dumbfounded. How could that happen? How could a board just blow up like that without damaging the box? The only explanation that came to mind, the only one that made sense to us, was that the board was angry. Angry that we had stopped playing. Angry that we were planning to throw it away. It felt personal, like whatever had been communicating with us through the board wasn't done with us yet. We didn't stick around to figure it out. I remember us running outside, dumping the box into the nearest trash can, and hightailing it out of there. We never played with a Ouija board again. But here's the thing. After that, strange things started happening in my life. I won't go into all the details now, but it was like a switch had been flipped. Little paranormal occurrences became more frequent, more intense, lights flickering, strange noises at night, shadows that seemed to move on their own. It was as if by messing with that Ouija board, we had somehow opened a door that I couldn't close. Looking back on it, I know how crazy it all sounds. A board game can't destroy itself, can't threaten your friend's unborn child, but I can't explain what happened. All I know is that I've never touched another Ouija board since, and I never will. Some doors are better left unopened, and some spirits are better left alone. Kim. Well, shit.
I do believe there's a proper way to dispose of a Ouija board. Am I wrong?
Well, it seems like the Ouija board disposed of itself. You can't play with it again.
I think you're supposed to do some kind of thing, right? Isn't there some sort of,
Let me just see.
Ritual or something you do with a Ouija board if you want to dispose of it. And like it closes it, right?
Well, and each time you use one, you're supposed to properly close it. Yeah.
You're supposed to close it. And then I think there's a way that you dispose of one. And I don't know if it just didn't get closed. And so it left this open for more experiences to happen. I hope Kim writes back and lets us know what a few of those things were, because I would love to know, you know, what these follow-up things were that this seemed to have opened. This,
like, I,
you know,
Googled it. It said disposal method number one, bury your Ouija board. Okay.
That's what I thought.
But
I thought
this one,
some
this one makes me laugh. Disposal method number two, give your Ouija board to someone.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Let's just let somebody else have all of this.
There's all kinds of different things that it suggests, but it's interesting. Like this one, return your Ouija board to the shop. There is a place, and I interviewed them on the Grave Talks, and it's a Ouija board museum. And there's lots of people, like this guy has hundreds and hundreds of them that people are like, I don't know what to do with this. Take it from me. Because I'm getting bad.
Now,
vibes
admittedly,
from it.
This one was busted.
This
right?
one disposed of itself.
And it's also weird that, like she said, there's just no explanation for it being broken and the box being fine. I don't see any scenario that that works.
Yeah.
You know,
but
because, you know, you look at something that would break into pieces or shatter, you think there's got to be something weird, like, it's in some ridiculously cold environment or hot, you know, to make something crack or, you know.
But it's shattered into a bunch of pieces.
But to.
And
but
even
to
the planchette.
It just doesn't make sense that it would do that. But I still think. It had not been properly disposed of, leaving it open.
And I think that they, you know, they were messing with some stuff they shouldn't have been. And now I'd like to know what happened to Chelsea. Did the devil get her baby? Like what?
Yeah, I would hate that.
Because this like Chelsea's baby, it's like Rosemary's baby, the next story
that takes it into
current day.
Yeah. But I would like to know, like, if these experiences that she continued to have things happen, have they stopped now?
Mm-hmm.
Was there some point at which things quit? Or is she still having some
things? And what happened to Chelsea? That's I want to know. I know, you know, Kim's like learned her lesson. Did Chelsea?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If you have a real ghost story, we would sure love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like an ad-free version of the show, along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, you can become a premium subscriber. Sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter interior paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Say big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I've gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cashback and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cashback sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cashback. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.